Thank you, Jay. It's great to be here with you. I saw me carry a notebook. It's only 9 pages long, so I think we can get through this. But yeah, it's interesting. Can y'all hear me okay? I've had a chance to, like Jay said, speak at a funeral. I've spoke at 2 of my kids' weddings. I spoke at a Chamber of Commerce meeting, but I've never done this before. Reacquainted with Jay, as he mentioned, and told him about a story he had no knowledge about, and he went on to say, you've got to figure out a way to tell this story. And I said, you're right. And so here I am with you here today. It's not a lightning bolt, but I think it's God's provisional plan that I'm standing here. Everything that has, as I think about this time with you this morning, everything that has happened in my life to this point brings me here to you guys today. So I just want to, pardon me if I get too caught up in reading, but I get paid to write for a living. What I write is very technical. It has to be very accurate. So I spent a lot of time working on these things, and I learned last night that's probably something I need to analyze. But anyway, so you know, as Jay said, I'm married to Elizabeth, one of Ralph's daughters, and you know, Ralph is a one of a kind man. You know, as you know, many of you know him. He was involved in this ministry, and I'm very fortunate to have been part of this family. So as I was putting together this story, kind of recalled a lot of things that I've done in my life, and particularly one as it relates to my career. I was a worldwide product brand manager for a technology company, and part of what our job was to evangelize. We use that technical term, tell the roadmap of the product that we were working on, and we would have this executive briefing center, and the account managers would bring their customers in. They would meet with me first and tell me a little bit about the customer, with the intent of telling a story, you know. And so I became very, very good at that, and so I'm very, despite not having covered this kind of content before, you know, I've been in those environments. So, you know, our premise was to know the audience, explain where we have been, where we're going, and somehow win a customer for life. And as I contemplate what you guys are doing with CBMC, I found out that I'm one of these guys that I can give my all in all to a one-on-one relationship, and hopefully I can use my story or the things that God has done in my life to disciple men. I want to know how to do that. So I know I'm preaching to the choir. I hope my story, my roadmap, compels you to go deeper and farther in your own walk. A little bit about myself. From the earliest times of my recollections, I can remember church, Sunday school, probably Sunday night, probably Wednesday, vacation Bible school. All those kind of things. I thought everybody did this. However, much to my surprise, this is not the case, as we all know. I'm very fortunate to have been born into a family who knew Jesus, to have had that environment, to be a catalyst, to know who the God of the Bible was and who Christ was. And at age 9, I walked the red carpeted aisle at Second Baptist Church, the old sanctuary there, went down the aisle and shook the pastor's hand and said, I want to be baptized. And my dad took me there to the pastor. His name was Dr. Riley. I remember it, you know, clear as the day. He had a voice like God. You know, he had a big hand. He had a big smile. His his office was richly paneled, tons of books, big desk, big chair. We talked, and he shook my hand, and I was baptized shortly thereafter. And obviously, I can recall that as this event impacted my life, in as much as a 9-year-old was capable of understanding this event. To this day, I do know for what purpose this event happened. I feel very fortunate. This truth is what I accepted then and believe today. You know, as far as childhood was great, very active. We were always busy in the yard. I was always involved in sports. We had a loving family, of course, not without its ups and downs. There were 4 kids. I had an older brother and 2 younger sisters. Great relationship with my mom. My dad and I were best friends. We spent a lot of time together. I mean, I listened to every word he said, you know, and acted upon it. Tennis player. We played tennis and golf. That's what my dad did. And I loved building anything. I was a model builder. Or I tinkered in the garage or did something like that. I loved cars and hanging out with my friends. You know, life was comfortable and without worry, and much of what we needed we always had. I was an average student, didn't really have to work at it. I remember going into the guidance counselor or the career counselor at high school, and she said, so where do you want to go to school? And I had grown up in a household where both my grandparents studied architecture at Rice University. So I answered that question, I'm going to go to Rice. She looked at my GPA and said, well, that's not going to happen. You know, where else have you thought of? So, but to that, I'm painfully shy. It's a matter I ever went out on a date. Went off to college, off to graduate school, always had sex, success, excuse me. Always. Hopefully, can we rewind that? Y'all are awake? Good. We're not going there. So always had success in business, always moved up, wonderful marriage, wonderful kids, had my own business, much bigger house than I needed, boat, cars, etc. You know the story, real defining stuff. You know, I sought after them and I got them. My wife and I, as I mentioned, are high school sweethearts. We began dating after sitting next to each other in a Latin class. As juniors in high school, and dated all through college. We have 3 beautiful children. They're all adults now, all Aggies. They're not marrying Aggies, though. I don't know what's going on there. My daughter Caroline is me in a dress. She married a young man she met in graduate school, and they're in the architecture business in Austin. My son Robert is more like his mom. Married Shelby, who is a nurse, and they live in Virginia Beach, and Robert serves our country as a special warfare operator. And he told me never to tell what that is, but that's what he does. He loves it. My third is a daughter, Allison. She lives in Dallas. We actually live right up the road here in Belleville, so this is very convenient here. So originally from Houston, went to Memorial High School, Aggie, studied architecture, went to work for a large firm here in Houston, and within a few years I was back in graduate school working on an MBA program at night. Started in architecture, migrated to corporate real estate with HP, Compaq in Houston, then transitioned into global PC brand management, also with HP. In 99, full of myself and wanted to dictate more about what I wanted to do, I left the corporate world and started my own design build and Jay referenced kind of targeting people that I could help with due diligence on projects. That was my career for 18 years. You know, it's good, very good, worked hard at it. Presently, I just celebrated my one-year anniversary with a nationally known engineering and architecture consulting firm. So I travel around the country analyzing and reviewing real estate for our clients. So our, you know, as our family, there's seven of us, hope to be eight soon. We're all very close. Last week during Thanksgiving, we had the rare opportunity to all be together, and I'm most thankful that they all know Jesus. In our last morning together, we were all having coffee, and I had a chance to share something I'd been studying, a message about doing our work well. As I have found out, work was kind of a drug for me. Does that sound familiar? But this led to the rest of my kids and the couples sharing some of the things they're reading and studying on their own. And I can't tell you, not having that growing up myself, I never thought I'd take so much joy in hearing that they're studying the Word on their own. So like I said, we're all spread out over the country, all over the country. It thrills me to no end that they're thriving where God has placed them. We cherish our times together, and my role changes all the time as a father. But just really nothing, as I finished, nothing compares to my family. I built a lot of things, participated in a lot of ventures, but nothing compares to their participating in their well-being. I mean, it's central to my life. But I'll say here is, I have a most wonderful life partner and my wife with Elizabeth. I would say we know each other well. We dated for 6 years and we've been married for 32 now. So 38 minus 56, that's a lot of time together. And she's beautiful, mature, patient, serves her family and friends well. She's been the recipient of much prayer in her life, I can tell. And she's dedicated to me and I'm to her. Our relationship continues to grow and reach new heights as we understand and go through the circumstances of life together, comprehend God's plan through it all. We put family first, frequent and foremost in our lives. And in summary there, looking back, as I reached my middle age, and I point that at kind of the age of 48 when some things started happening, I was working really hard to keep things, to keep together things that I had created for myself, and I had reached my limit, So this season in time, this Thanksgiving and this Christmas is a mile marker each year for me. Almost 10 years ago, I remember the time more so than many others. We always hosted Thanksgiving at our house. We had the biggest house. We had an atypical mix of people that time, combination of family and friends and some clients. Now, as a small business owner, in order to take time off, you need to back up and slow the train down so you can enjoy a couple of days off. But prior to the ending of the time off, you kind of have to spend some time starting it back up. And I remember I had a doctor's appointment the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, and I still do remember debating whether I should take that appointment. But as it turned out, I did. I kept the appointment. The appointment was normal, and as I answered the most routine question from the physician, he always asked me this, and he said, "What else is bothering you?" And I said, I told him I have this bump on my right shoulder, just below my neck. He said, "I'm not sure what it is, but I'll send you to somebody that does." And the initial tests were kind of inconclusive with this doctor as well. He said it's either an infection or something worse. And I, part of this is I took infection and I ran with it. I got busy back into work. You know, I denied that there was something going on here. And 3 months later, I was on an operating table. And they were doing a biopsy to try to find out what this thing was, because it was out of control and it was painful, and it was showing itself. So I picked up my wife the evening of May 26, which is actually my mother-in-law's birthday, in 2010, and shared with her what had just been revealed to me, that they were certain what I had was lymphoma, and that was blood cancer. And I tell you, these words and this diagnosis was purposed to change the trajectory of my life for me forever. You know, I know we've all talked about these markers. You know, it was May 26, 2010. Never forget it. Although it was cancer, all I could do during the storm of the disease was be obedient to the treatment protocol. I had a lot of people, what do you think this is about? What do you think this is about? I don't know, but I'm in it, you know, and I've got to be obedient. There's a lot of imagery in cancer for me. I was diagnosed and I was taken down the hall to see a business manager, and she actually came up from her desk and had a three-ring binder and slapped it on the desk and said, this is what we want you to sign off and agree to do. And as a businessman, I thought, man, I need to have my attorney look at this. And she said, well, Mr. Bond, that's fine, but this might not be available to you if you take some time off and not address this currently. So the imagery is very certain about some things that were happening in my life. So at the age of 48, things are about to change. But God assured me of the hope in Him through the crisis. I was called to surrender everything I had trusted as purpose and foundation so I could see His truth and fully realize the provision He had promised and have a chance at life again. Through the crisis, God took away my health, my business, my home, my resources, and years of precious time with my family. But He revealed Himself during the trial through exceptional medical care, exceptional, and provisions for our household. Most amazingly, He sustained and protected my family. I bring my family up again, and through fellowship with individuals He called upon and used for our strength and encouragement and protection. Through it all, God had showed me I was relying upon things of the world to define and direct my life, not Himself. As my proclaimed life securities evaporated before my very eyes, there was God, always present and always more than sufficient. What began as a physical transformation has slowly permeated into every part of who I am, as well as served to define character with my family. As well, all that was has been made new. The transformation over the past several years has been deeply personal. God got my attention with the diagnosis of cancer and proceeded to lovingly redirect me. I'm Christian at this time. You know, I knew Jesus, thankfully. Redirect me into a place that only He could. I mean, my world got very small. You know, I mentioned in one of my titles, I was a global guy, you know, touched the world. My world got very, very small. As my health declined, I struggled to lead our family. As I struggled to keep the business going, absolutely everything changed. Yet in this small space, God was huge. He was big, real, alive, and working. So as I look back, I always took pride in being self-sufficient. I was always able to make it happen, create it in my mind, or build it and make a goal of it and get there. My wife and I could operate very sufficiently on our own. Together and individually, my wife and I are two very capable people, you know. This all sounds great, but that mindset had the potential to go after what was out of God's boundary. And this was wrong. This was wrong. As I mentioned above, everything I had, all my plans, goals, and possessions of a former life were gone. Cancer treatment was painful, hard, and relentless, but the 3.5 years of seeing your life plans be shown to you as meaningless was life-changing. I did not kick. Was that me? Thank you. You know, I did not kick cancer's ass. You know, I heard the word hell last night, so I think ass, I'll use it as a noun. That statement grieves me. God used cancer as a metaphor of what was happening to my life. In a strange irony, the type of cancer spoke to me on a spiritual level. Being involved in this treatment for 3.5 years, you hear and you listen and you learn a lot. The disease flowed through every part of my body, just the way sin has the potential to manifest itself, hide in many ways. Just as the disease hid and had to be treated, God continued to speak to me in and about areas of my life that he wanted to expose. Again, I'm the nicest guy in the world, you know, at this point. My disease was not something that was eradicated or cut out or an isolated occurrence. It was blood cancer. I mean, blood flows through your body, and when it is not effective as the life stream of the body, it is useless. That was the premise of my disease. I was producing immature content in my blood. The immune system called upon to use it and couldn't use it, and tumors developed. I had massive tumors inside my chest. Didn't know it. The point is, I'd lost my way with my Savior. I had forgotten that I was in desperate need of a Savior, and I was doing it all myself, and had reached my limit. Thankful I had Jesus, and I am thinking back to being a young boy. He came to the forefront immediately and became my hope. I do not know where people go without a Savior who loves and promises to never leave or forsake. It was my darkest hour, and I needed a Savior for sure. I had to admit that. Going along as I had without coming to terms with the disease, I found out later that 6 weeks was all they had given me. Picture that. You're in denial of the things that God is trying to get your attention with and about and for. The disease was going to, you know, come in that form. It made me realize a lot of things. Those 1,208 days, but who's counting, of solitude, most of it without an immune system, without society of vocation, you know, the drug of my life, a normal family life, and a brain so messed up with chemo that it was the toughest, the easiest decisions were the toughest things ever. Do I pick up that phone when it rings? I don't know. What am I supposed to do? Times like these allow you some very personal time with God. I began to realize that my plans with the business were not God's. My goals for the future were mine and not God's. He'd given me a wonderful business. In fact, at one point I said, if I do a few more of these things, I'm done in 5 years. I could be done. I could beat my dad to retirement. He retired in his early 50s. Silly goals. My direction and guidance as a father were what worked for me. All under the cloak of, I'm a Christian, so bless my efforts, God, and I will show you how wonderful my creations will be. Just give me what I ask for. Those were my prayers. Man, shameful, shameful. God allowed the treatment, as tough as it was, to run its course. I made it all the way to course 29 of 30 of the maintenance treatments before the doctor called it done. So my body was exhausted and beaten. I kept getting sicker and sicker and sicker of things not related to cancer. But I was in full remission. I was done. After more than 3 years of medical treatment, the doctor released me with a medical status called complete remission. I looked it up. I said, how oddly the definition of remission is the cancellation of a debt. And I remained in that state going on 5 years and 75 days. Very, very thankful. So as you'd imagine, much of my life has been scrubbed, everything about it. I've had a reprogramming and a reboot of my primary operating system, you know, to use a technical term. But I'm here for many reasons. And as Jay mentioned, he and I go back 20 years. We were reacquainted, as he said, at my father-in-law's funeral, and he started to call. And you know Jay, I said, Jay, what'd you call yourself, a pain in the ass? I'm thankful for you, and I love him. We met last April for the first time in almost 10 years. I told him this story. And he said, you're a broken man. I said, yes, I am a broken man. I came to your group through my father-in-law almost 20 years ago, and I listened to a lot of this, and I said, I cannot relate to you guys. You guys are messed up. Where am I today? I'm here with you, and I'm thankful. I still have scars. I have some very expensive consequences. Got a long way to go. But God is in his rightful place in my heart and has shown me love, which is of his own design. He is reestablishing himself as the single source of all in my life. He did not forsake us. He did not abandon us. He did not turn his back. In fact, what he was doing was preparing us, myself, my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my kids, for growth in knowledge and awareness and trust, because we know him and have faith in him. I'm constantly reminded of this and thankful for that young time as a boy and decision made to go in faith. During this time, my well-being was literally a daily struggle. Even today, as I slowly distance myself from treatment, I'm amazed at God's sovereign plan for me. This is part of his plan. Got my attention. I daily thank him for good health and provision. There is an indelible imprint of the circumstance of my life. I have things that I carry with me. I have tattoos right in the middle of my chest and on my arms for the radiation guys to find out where to line me up. I see those things every day. My boss is God now. He provides. He gives me something to do, food to eat, a roof over my head, and simply asks me to do the work that he has planned for me in whatever form it comes. And in that, I find joy. Not what gives me satisfaction or contentment, but gives him glory. Tough lesson. I'm learning that what I receive is all his. A very tough lesson to learn as someone who was doing it all for himself and had command of that, control of it. I'm envious of the characters in the Bible we read that they were in 3 days of correction in their trial. Mine was 3.5 years. I must have needed a lot of work, and I think I did. So what I once considered the purpose of my life does not exist anymore. The most fantastic event was God's prescriptive circumstances show his intent for me, a cure indeed for unfinished work he must have ready for me. I lost 2 friends who were diagnosed with cancer about the same time I was, both godly men and families. At this point in my life, I would like for them to know that my life was not wasted on anything but God's best. What a loving God to have done all this for me. Can you imagine having cancer? And said, thank you, God, for that. Now everything in my life is seen through a lens of a loving God who calls me to be faithful and obedient, to acknowledge himself as the center of my life. I have lots to learn. Each year, month, week, and day is different. All purposeful to give God his glory, not myself. I've been restored. I know he has a place for me far greater than I could have created for myself here on earth. He did all this for me once. I was saved at one time as a young boy, and was redeemed back as a middle-aged man. I just read yesterday, I love to read Utmost for His Highest, and it speaks to me. This verse yesterday was 1 Corinthians 15:10. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. The last paragraph of that devotion says, there is only one relationship that really matters, and that is your personal relationship to your personal Redeemer and Lord. If you maintain that at all costs, letting everything else go, God will fulfill his purpose through your life. He's been waiting to do that through me and with me for a long time. One individual life may be of priceless value to God's purposes, and yours may be that life. Those are great words to me. You know, in closing here, the good news is we serve one that has overcome the world and promises hope in that future, and I rest in that truth. But I want to thank you for allowing me to share my story, and thankful to be a part of this group. Thank you.